So Wayne.
Wasn't nervous until this very moment, so. A lot of you guys are new faces to me. Some of you guys are old faces. Some of you people know that, you know, I have several years. I've managed to put together 14 years of sobriety since I got sober when I was 32. How'd my alcoholism start? Well, it started when I was about 14. And I used to hang out with a group of guys that were about 4 or 5 years older than me. I think I got drunk once, and I loved it. You know, I loved getting drunk. And the next weekend, we were up at my aunt and uncle's house, and I was 14. It was Thanksgiving Day. And I remember waiting until everybody went to sleep, and I broke into his liquor cabinet and filled a Pepsi bottle with a little bit of everything so he wouldn't notice that I took it. You know, when I drank that next day, that whole bottle, and, you know, the curdling of the liqueurs and the hard liquor should have been a sign that it wasn't good to drink all at once, but I drank it, and I was, you know, I felt empowered by alcohol, you know, I really did. All my shyness went away, all my insecurities went away when I drank, and, you know, I was on top of the world. So I did that for about 12 years. I hope nobody's offended, but I'm also a drug addict, too, so.
What?
I've got the dentures to prove it. that was one of the first things I got when I got sober, was a set of teeth. I remember sitting at the counter at the Alana Club, and Lisa B was sitting next to me, and she looked at me and she goes, "Wayne, you need to get a set of choppers." I do. So I got some teeth, you know. Sobriety works. That was probably the biggest first step I ever took, was getting teeth. It's been good. When I first pulled up, I had a van that was, I think it was 3 or 4 years older than me. You know, I was just a toothless guy in the van. And, you know, I used to live in, in several places, actually, but I used to pull my car into this abandoned house over here off Grant Street, and I'd pull the fence out and pull it out and park my car in back, take the battery out, run, because there was no lights in this house, and hook up my little tweaker lights, and, you know, things were good, you know, I had lights in a home, you know, even though I eventually got kicked out of there by the police. So back where I was saying, so I drank pretty heavy for every day, you know, I was working construction. I started construction when I was also 15. I'm still doing it today. So, kept drinking, and my life was okay for a while. I felt on top of the world for a while, but pretty soon people started to think that I was drinking too much, and they would say that you're an alcoholic, Wayne. And eventually I would say, yeah, I am an alcoholic, and it's okay, you know, I like to drink, and, you know, most of the time I was a pretty mellow drunk, fun to be around, you know, funny and stuff, but then I had a dark side too, you know, a switch could flip, and I could totally be a total asshole. Thank God I never got any 502s, I never killed anybody, I hurt the people I was closest to, of course, like most of you probably did. And that went on for years until I started using speed. And then I started using speed, and my mom actually said to me, because, you know, I moved off my mom as much as possible being an alcoholic. She said to me, "Wow, you're doing good." And she didn't realize I was on speed. She goes, "You haven't been drinking, and, you know, you're shaping up." And I thought, well, speed's my drug of choice now. You know, so... And that went pretty well for about a year or so, but, you know, I have an addictive personality. I can't do a little bit of anything, and I still have that problem today. So I used speed for several years, too. I think the worst episode I had on the speed, I used to do it every day. It doesn't matter how much I did or where I did it, but I did a lot. One day I was working on a roof in Lompoc. I was having these chest pains and stuff. I just figured, you know, it's nothing, you know. And then I was having trouble breathing and stuff, and maybe I just need to do some more speed. So I did. I got off the road, and the only place to do any in private there was this public bathroom across the street in this park, which was not uncommon for me to go into a bathroom and line it up. So I went in there and did another probably quarter or something, and then I got back on the road, and I was really feeling really bad. I said, you know, I'm going to have to go home. And I started driving home, and my arms and my feet, my face went numb. I couldn't even talk. It was like I was having a stroke. I know now that it wasn't a stroke. It's called Bell's palsy, and it happens when you're overstimulated and you lack potassium in your body, and it can happen to anybody. But I could have died easily. So I was on the side of the road, stashing my stuff because I knew the ambulance was coming. I'm in between Lompoc and Vandenberg, just pulled off the side of the road, flagged some strange truck down, and they were nice enough to call an ambulance. And I found myself praying, and for me, I pray to God, and I always have. And he was just asking me. I just felt like he's going, well, what do you want to do, you know? And, you know, at that moment, I wanted to live, so... You know, I swore it off for a while. I went to the hospital, and then when you go to the hospital on a drug overdose, they kind of give you the cold shoulder, because there's people in there that didn't ask for the problems they have, and they're in there for a reason. But if you're on a drug overdose and stuff, you really get second best there, because you brought it on yourself. So I swore it off. About 3 days later, I was using again. I just, you know, I figured I should eat more and sleep more, and maybe I could manage my drug use and alcoholism a little bit better, and I'll be better. So that went on. Oh, I also got 11-550 in the hospital that day. My first one. But before they released me, the police came. They didn't arrest me, but they gave me a ticket, and it was my first 11-550, and that was my first introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous, because I got a court card. I went and did the mandatory stuff. I was going to court every week for the first couple weeks, and then it was switched to every 2 weeks, and I'd go to court, and she said, did you get a sponsor yet? And I said, no, but I'll get one next week. You work a step? No, I'll work it next week, too. So I went in there the next week. She asked me if I got a sponsor. I'm like, had a checklist. I was like, yeah, got a sponsor, looked at the steps and all that stuff. And believe it or not, you know, I went through that 4 or 5 months of going to court, and Judge Beck at the time, she looked at me and she actually said, you're doing really good, Wayne. We're gonna take you off probation. And I thought, wow, I am doing good. If I can use and pull it off from the judge, then it's really not a problem. So that all went away and stuff. And I never went to AA again after that. My brother at the time was a meeting monster. And he was trying to get me an AA. And I was like, you know, I'll go when it's time, you know. So some more time went by, and then just drinking, and I could tell you about all the chaos in my life, but it's standard chaos. You know, I hurt my loved ones, I ruined relationships, I had a daughter that I, thank God, have a relationship with today, that I didn't have a relationship with then. So I just kept doing what I was doing. The court card didn't happen, and a few months went by, and I was riding my bike, and I over to a friend's house to get some shit, drinking and stuff, because, you know, my whole life was that. I worked. My whole life was drinking and using. That's all I knew, was drinking or using, and I was going over a buddy of mine, and I saw this cop drive by, and I'm riding my bike, and I'm like, oh, shit. And he flipped to you, and I was like, this is not good. So anyway, I got my second 11-550 that day, and I actually did a few months in county jail for that then, which wasn't bad. You could still smoke. So anyway, I got a second court card, and the court card still didn't work. But, you know, the court card did plant a seed for me, because a couple years after that, probably 3 or 4 years after that, I was in this relationship, and I was trying to get sober with this girl, and she was like, she's like, you shouldn't use, you have a problem. And I was like, well, you shouldn't take your Xanax if you have a problem. We kind of made a pact, you know, you stay off the Xanax, I'll stay off the speed. But she made a fatal mistake. She said, why don't we just do a little bit of speed, you know, tonight? And I was like, yeah, it ain't gonna hurt nothing. So we did, but like 3 or 4 weeks later, you know, she's like, are you still doing that stuff? And I'm like, yeah, no, I never stopped from that night, you know. Not that I had any clean time, I was only clean a couple weeks. Lost the apartment we were in and stuff, and we ended up splitting up, and I was devastated at the time. So you know what? A thought popped in my head, and I thought, why don't you go to a meeting, man? Why don't you go to a meeting? Maybe my motives were, maybe she'll come back if I go to a meeting. And I went to the meeting, and I kept going to the meeting, and I kept going to the meeting while I was using and drinking. But they said, keep coming back. And I kept going back, and I kept using and drinking. But a couple days came, I had some clean time, and then I would use again. And then I kept going, and pretty soon I had a couple weeks without using or drinking. And by the time I had 3 or 4 weeks, you know, I looked back at that relationship, and I just wanted to get away from it, too. So I was already healing in that short amount of time that I had sobered up. When I got sober, I did exactly, once I had a commitment to stay sober, I did what I got a sponsor for real on my choice. And I did Ronnie Jack, if anybody knows him. And I did the steps. I worked the steps within I had kind of a buddy that was in recovery at the same time, and he was new, I was new, and he's like, I'm working the steps. I'm like, oh, you're working the steps? I'm like, what step are you on? So it kind of got to be like a competition. And I was like, well, I'm going to work that step. And you know what? It worked. I got through the steps. I did my 4th step, and I did all my steps. And I kept coming to meetings religiously. For the first 3 or 4 years of my recovery, I probably came to about a meeting a day, 7 a week, even if it wasn't a meeting a day. So the first thing I do when I'm in recovery is, you know, naturally I try to find a girlfriend. And I did when I was probably almost not quite a year clean, a little bit after the year. We were together for about 6 or 7 months, and oh, I thought I was in love. You know what I mean? And she dumped me. And I was broken-hearted. So I thought I was. But you know what? I didn't drink or use during that time. And I think that's what it means about getting into a relationship. I mean, if you get dumped or hurt, is that going to cause you to use or something? Because by the grace of God, it didn't. And that day, or those weeks of going through that, I grew. I grew because I didn't use or drink. Later on, I went through some family dying. My grandmother died. That was hard. Didn't use or drink, you know. Got married a few years after that. And then my 4 or 5 years into the marriage, my ex, she started drinking and using again and cheating. So all these things were not good. And my alcoholic mind was telling me, you know, maybe if I just have a drink with her, you know, we'll both be drinking and, you know, we'll climb on a white stallion and ride off in the sunset, everything will be perfect. You know, but something in the back of my head saying, you know, you can't drink any. And I didn't. And I went through that divorce with my head held high in dignity. And again, I got to grow. I got to grow emotionally. And over these last couple years, I'm remarried now happily. And my wife's a normal now. She keeps the cork on the bottle like we throw it away, you know. She has a half a glass and she pours some out, you know. I don't understand how she can't keep drinking. And she doesn't understand how I continue to drink, so she's never seen me as an alcoholic. Most people don't believe me when I tell them I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. And you guys wouldn't believe me either if you saw me when I walked in this place. I was a different person. So my life has changed. I just go through this one thing lately where, well, I've matured a lot, you know. I've really matured in these last 14 years, and I was 14 when I started drinking, and I got 14 years, so I'm practically a 30-year-old, you know, emotionally. So maybe I'm, and I tell myself this, I said, maybe I'm mature enough to drink now. But, you know, I look at the big picture, and I'm not. I look at how I drink a cup of coffee, how I drink some water, how I smoke a cigarette. I don't do anything in moderation. And if I were to take a drink, it would ruin everything I have. My life is good now. What happened since I've gotten sober? I've got my teeth. I've got new cars. I own a couple houses. I run a successful contracting business. I have a degree in construction technology. I went back to college since I got sober. And life is good. You know, I have God in my life. God gave me AA, but AA gave me back to God. And I thank Him every day for the many blessings in my life. And if you're new, I want you guys to know that your life will change if you stay sober one day at a time. If it worked for me, it can work for any of you. So thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Blaine. Let's give Blaine another.